All right, welcome to another podcast of BibleTruthOnline.com. And tonight we are podcasting on an existing paper on our site called Who Are the 24 Elders? And we decided to podcast this paper because we've received many questions about how and why we came up with the conclusions we did in our paper, Who Are the 24 Elders? And one statement I just want to make it personally here is when we write papers, we're not trying to do something different, and we're not trying to be unique by coming up with wild and extravagant theories of our own. We look at all the other theories out there, explanations in Bible study, definitions on what people say about certain subjects. And if we don't agree basing our summary on God's Word, then we write about it. So here's a case where we write a paper, make a statement, and people have questions. And tonight we're here to explain why we came up with the explanations. But the first thing to do is to take a survey of the other theories that exist out there and discuss why those theories don't make sense. So I think the first thing I'll do is give a definition of the word elder. And the definition of elder is greater than another in age or seniority, which to me is the meaning of the word elder. Then we have superior to another or others as in rank. An older person, an older influential member of a family, tribe, or community, and one of the governing officers of a church, often having pastoral or teaching functions. And the last definition there of the word elder doesn't seem to work with me, because the comment that I made earlier is, when did Jesus Christ institute elders in his church? And the point being, taking a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old, by that definition, we must say the 40-year-old is the elder, and thus must have more faith or know more. And that just isn't the case in this world. There are 20-year-olds, Christians that I have met that have much greater faith than 40-year-olds, and they both claim to be Christian. So I agree with the first definition that elder is defined as greater than another in age or seniority. And it's greater than age is our main point. So let's take these theories one by one and run through them. The first theory is that Who Are the 24 Elders of Revelation, chapter 5? And the answer given is, these elders are spirit beings created by God to be his wise and intelligent counselors. They were created before the physical creation, along with the cherubim, like Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, which, I wouldn't call Michael and Gabriel a cherubim. An archangel and a cherubim are two different things, so that's a little angelology. The seraphim, and the four living creatures, and the billions of other angels that serve God. Comments on the 24 elders being wise and intelligent counselors that are spirit beings created by God.
Well, just to turn around and make them spirit beings, there's too much lineage that takes them back to the people of the world. And angels have no spiritual connection with the people of the world. They are God's created creature, but these people seem to have a much more personal affinity with mankind. It leads itself to believe they are from mankind.
The problem that I have with them being God's counselor, I think, is the main point. It's rather ridiculous. I mean, I think the Bible spells out pretty clearly that no one, no created being, no man, whatever these are, nothing can cancel God. The mind of God is beyond any of his creation. And to say that God created a being as wise as him to counsel him is just ridiculous. There's no indication of that anywhere in the Bible. And especially if you read the book of Job, I think that would spell out quite profoundly how awesome the mind of God is and how no other being could even compare to his counsel.
And the other part is, too, about, it's not just, that's the man part, but the angelic part is, we know that Lucifer fell, So God is not going to take counsel from somebody who has the ability to fall.
That's true.
Because he's never going to take any wrong counsel, nor is he ever going to do anything that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kills that point right there.
That would be under the assumption that any created being has the ability to fall, and God does not.
Well, what it does do is it shows you that no matter what this theory is saying here, as to who it is, they're not a counselor.
Mm-hmm. If they can be counseled, or if they can counsel, that would mean they also have the ability to be wrong. Is
right.
that possible? Or that God is wrong some of the time and he is counseled?
No, God is never wrong, but he's not going to... The terminology of counselor, like giving God advice and stuff,
yeah.
that's a misconception there because nobody can do that. Everything that is created has the ability to fail. Therefore, it cannot give counsel to God. God is the essence of what will happen perfected.
I agree. Theory number two. Some people believe that these 24 elders represent Israel, but at the time of this vision, Israel as a whole nation had not yet been redeemed. This person answers part of it right there. What about the theory that the 24 elders represent Israel?
The trouble with that is, that precludes everything before Israel. Israel is nothing but Jacob, so that is not counseling from Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Enoch, Adam. That just precluded all those people. Because those people are older than what this is. So you just took out too big a portion of the world in order to go along with that line.
Yeah, you're talking about elders, but you have everybody before the flood or... way older than Jacob's line. It doesn't come until...
Well, if it's Israel, then you just knocked off...
14 generations? 12?
Yeah. 14, 13... Yeah, you just knocked off about 2,500 years of mankind.
Yeah.
They're just not old enough. They can't be Israel. They're not old enough.
Okay, theory number three. The 24 elders represent the whole church.
The trouble with that is it's almost the same argument in that what is the whole what is the church? Mm-hmm. Okay? If you're talking about the church from Jesus' times upward, from his birth on earth and upwards that direction, you just lost out on too much of mankind.
Let me go on the next statement on that guy's theory. They are not the church, but they represent the church.
The church doesn't, if the church from the Jesus age up doesn't represent what's there beforehand. Okay, you've just kicked out Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out of the church. That's not going to happen.
And he's saying this is not a strange interpretation, for we see this in the Old Testament. First book of Chronicles, chapter 24, shows us that King David appointed 24 priests to represent the entire priesthood.
Right, there are prototypes of what will be both forwards and backwards. 24, what David did, is the prophetic number. It's a prototype. In fact, what it is in our particular case here, it's an after-the-fact thing. Do you notice that there are 12 tribes of Israel and there were 12 apostles? Mm-hmm. Which came first, the apostles being the 12 or the 12 tribes? Mm-hmm. Okay? It's just more of the same. It's going back through it again. These certain numbers will pop up again and again. When God says something, it means this, and it means that type thing. It just, yes, it's true, so the number will keep coming up. It doesn't mean that that's what this interpretation is of.
Mm-hmm. It says the 24 elders represent this entire royal priesthood. What about the thrones, the white garments, and the golden crowns? Was the church promised these? And they're going on with verses from Revelation to try to back that up.
Once again, it's now they're taking it from David upwards. It's the same argument as from when Jesus was here on earth upwards. It precludes too much of the human race.
And you're telling me the church is the only one that's going to be wearing a crown? How about David? Hmm. You know, let's look at all the other kings. Let's look at, you know, let's go back even further. Noah. You know, Shem.
It's awful hard to make somebody outside of Jesus greater than Adam. Because all of us come from Adam.
And the next greatest in heaven is going to be David.
You just can't throw up, you can't chop off different groups of people to fit your theory. God is for all of mankind, not for this or that.
Next theory?
Yeah.
Number four. One guy says here that the 24 elders and four creatures implies that they are acting on behalf of Christians who are not present. So he's basically saying that they are some sort of men, just like the four creatures in Isaiah.
No, the four living creatures there are the four living, are the creatures of Ezekiel chapter 1 with the four faces. They are those creatures.
But if you look at those four faces, it's got a lot to do with more than just man. If you notice on there, there's a man, an eagle, a wild animal, and a domesticated animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if that's representing for mankind, you have three different faces on there that have nothing to do with that. So it's representing a lot more than just mankind. So much for the four creatures.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what about this comment that they are some sort of, I don't know, creature or person acting on behalf of Christians who are not present?
As what? Like an intercessor? Once again, that's the kind of fuzzy implication that it's going to. What is that person going to do on behalf for me that Jesus has not already done?
I'm speaking for all these people who just can't be here today, and they all agree with what I'm trying to say right here.
Right, and what I'd say. And then most of these other 23 people almost think what I think. You know, so, no.
Yeah, theory number five? Or
yeah. I just want to make that point solid, what you just said, that there's nothing that these guys can do that Christ hasn't done for us. Everything that Christ did for us is on the cross, is sealed through his blood, and confirmed through his resurrection, and given to it through his life. There's nothing more that can be added to that. Anybody who tries to add to that or subtract to that, I'm sorry, is damned for hell. That's what Paul says.
Well, let's take it one step further. These are 24 elders, and who's older than they are? Christ himself. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is Jesus, and this Word springs forth. See, this is where you start. You start with Jesus sending out the Word. Where are the next 24?
Or, since they're elders, are they older than the four living creatures? I mean, if they're angelic beings, you know, why are these guys, why are the four living creatures representing the church? And the elders are in the same group, but the elders are what, are older creatures than the four living creatures? It doesn't make sense.
We already have Michael, we have Gabriel, we have Satan, we have Lucifer. Okay? Satan and Lucifer probably are the same person. Okay? Are these people supposed to be pre those people? That creation, not necessarily people, that creation, are they something above all of that? Or are they just something else? Okay? They seem to be talking here for mankind. I don't see these 24 elders talking on behalf of angels.
Yeah.
The connection seems to be with mankind. I don't see them doing anything besides mankind.
True.
Theory number five is that 24 elders are ex-sinners from this earth. And this one I need to read a little bit because it's a whole theory put together here with backup information that's unusual. This was on an Adventist forum. This man answered this question of who are the 24 elders. And he says the 24 elders are redeemed, as in Revelation chapter 5, 9, ex-sinners from this earth. They are alive and well, sitting on 24 seats in the presence of the Father, who is also sitting down on his throne. The Lamb is Jesus. He is standing. The same number of angels that are present in this assembly is the same number that Daniel spoke of in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, which says thousands upon thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. Now this him above is God the Father. The books were open above is a book that the Lamb takes from the Father's hand and unseals one generation of names at a time. Only the names of those that professed faith in God are considered in this investigative judgment now in process. This book contains the deeds of those people who are dead. As this necessary judgment begins, the angels present the record are the record keepers of these deeds, and the 24 elders are the jurors who want to look them right in the eye at each piece of evidence is presented. These 24 elders have the same roots as the people's names being judged, our peers, as the life and death issue proceeds. Each name is searched as with lighted candles, one at a time. I won't end there, but we got a whole scenario of just...
Well, what you have right there is, in his theory, he has an ex-sinner judging a sinner. Okay? Well, no, that's fine. But what would make that ex-sinner qualified for judgment?
Well, he called these 24 elders jurors.
What qualifies them to be a juror without condemning themselves? We know they're ex-sinners.
Mm-hmm. Throw the first stone. Are you perfect? Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Throw the first stone. Whatever they say would only condemn themselves.
Right.
Okay? So, at one point, they're saying these are men. They're saying men have rights to rule and judge
right.
other men.
It's anti-Bible.
And judging man's deeds.
Yeah.
Who's the only judger? It's Jesus Christ. I mean, that's biblical.
And what does he judge off of?
And this is also taking another weird little point. They're judging sins. Sins of what? It's in confession. We've gone through this in some of the other podcasts. These sins, the fact that you're a sinner, does that preclude you from going to heaven? Mm-hmm. Well, until you counter it, until something is done about it, okay, the only thing that can be done about it is the work of Christ. Mm-hmm. So if Christ has done that work, then there's one set of judgment. You're judged for the righteous things you have done. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't taken care of that sin, you don't need man to judge you. Right. You have God's word to judge you. You have the law. You have no thing. Man has no part in that. That's not even a job of the 24 elders.
And my thought is, so all generations of man, generation by generation, is what the angels will open this book, and each generation, each person's life has evidence.
Wait a minute. The angels don't open the book.
Well, he's saying they do. So let's just go with his wild theory. And the angels open this book, and the jurors hear evidence towards of this person's life. How are these jurors in this scenario going to judge the first, second, third generation of man in a generations after Jesus? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why is Jesus even here? It totally takes out that whole equation. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they have that rule? I mean, this sounds like some Law and Order episode gone wild. I mean, it's almost like, we'll take the court scenario of this land. This is why you have 12 jurors. By his statement, we should have 24 jurors in every court case, right? Because 24 elders...
Well, yeah, we have a backup jury, just in case.
Backup jury, I see.
Okay.
So, it sounds like this is what we're going at. It's just, if we have courts on earth, then these 24 elders are going to act like 24 jurors. So you have a double jury, and this is just,
This jury is judging Christians who are already in heaven?
That's my question.
Why are they judging... I mean, isn't the only judgment is... Do I know you? Is the only judgment what is left to be judged?
Well, notice how they're going through each and every little thing with a candle. So you don't need to go through a candle to answer the question, do I know Jesus? Have I accepted Jesus? What this guy is talking about here is every little sin.
That's Satan's work.
That's right.
Satan's work is to go through and convict you of every little sin.
Of every little sin.
And Jesus says, sorry.
The answer is an on-off switch. I have Jesus, I don't have Jesus.
Yeah.
On-off, one way or the other.
So let's finish this guy's theory, because it gets worse.
Yeah, that's...
Well, it's thing one. I mean, the man put some thought into this, but let me just go here. The name of Samson finally is called out, the record of him crawling back to that harlot's bed, even after he knew God's power was running unlimited in his body when duty was on the throne. This must be examined. The 24 elders wanted to know, did he really do that? Yes, he did, according to the books. But there is someone standing as the 24 elders and the Father are seated. We're missing some English in here. He has something to add to this judgment scene. He holds up his hands. He is saying something about blood to this judge and pleading in Samson's defense. He is acquainted with blood being shed him being the innocent lamb that was slain, Revelation 5, 6, I don't even know why you put a Bible verse in here. I mean, come on.
He's telling a made-up story.
Jesus tells the angels to keep turning the pages. He wanted the 24 elders to see the evidence of Samson coming to his senses after years of foolish living. God, can I stop?
Wow.
No, you cannot stop. There's more to this. Keep going with this guy's theory, because then we'll take it apart.
Samson did repent. The blood of the Lamb covers every hook and cranny of the selfish up and down life. Jesus can now plead with even a greater plea. The 24 elders are satisfied and nod.
Okay, stop right there. If you go back and look at the story of Samson, what you just heard is the story of the prodigal son.
Right.
Okay, so the story of the prodigal son, it's not about how the prodigal son went away and now he's being justified before 24 elders as to coming back. It's the actual story of these lost tribes going away, coming to the gospel, turning back towards the Father meeting him partially on the way back, and coming into the gospel. It's all about the work of Christ. It's got nothing to do with Samson's individual sin as to what they look at. Samson's whole story is a story of what is going to happen with the lost tribes. Okay, not about him going to bed with a harlot. The harlot that he goes to bed with are the people of a far-off country. Okay, so this guy's theory right here is off, then it gets farther off, but more importantly, is it misses the truth of the whole Samson story.
Right.
And then you're going to take this false story that we've already shown is a false story to the 24 elders. The 24 elders don't need a false story. These are not the 24 elders. This is not the job of the 24 elders. This guy has him taking a false story to a false judgment of the 24 elders. This is completely wrong. This shouldn't even be gone on any farther. It should be taken, thrown away. It is garbage. There's no point going any farther with this story. It's done.
Yeah, he has Jesus pleading to the 20 elders up on their behalf. Like Jesus is pleading for them not to send them to hell. Jesus is begging the 20 elders like they're more powerful than Jesus. It doesn't make any sense.
Jesus is an advocate, true enough, for these people. But he's not an advocate to bring judgment against. Judgment from the 24 elders.
Yeah.
The judgment that he is pleading with is before the court of God, not the court of 24 elders.
Okay.
These are not the 24 elders. It's not the purpose, job, or anything. That theory is done.
Theory number six gets a different twist here. These 24 elders confuse some people, but they shouldn't. Well, that's what we say. But anyway, let's see what we go.
But we've already gone through six sets of non-confusion.
Their appearance gives them away. They have thrones, so they're rulers.
Keep going.
They surround the throne of God, so they're assisting him.
That's a stretch, but go on.
They're seated, so their work is done.
They're dead. Okay.
They're dressed in white, so they're righteous.
We'll see.
On their own?
They're wearing the crown, so they're victors or overcomers.
We can still go with that. He hasn't sprung the trap on himself yet. Go ahead.
They're called elders, a title associated more with Christianity than Judaism.
Uh-oh. Oh, I don't know. Have you ever seen an old Jew? Have you ever seen an old Christian?
I think we have a pretty strong case for them representing the church.
Oh, good. And what church would that be? Are we talking about the Church of the Jews? The church of the supposed grafted in Gentiles? Okay.
When King David realized that the number of priests in Israel...
King David was a Jew. So he's using a Jewish statement here to talk about the church. We'll see where he goes with it.
When King David realized that the number of priests in Israel was too large for effective service in the tabernacle, he separated them into 24 rotating groups. These smaller groups were sufficient to carry out the necessary duties and represented the entire priesthood while on duty. 24 is a multiple of 12, the number that represents government.
That's an assumption there.
But wait a minute, okay, though. In heaven, we're sitting down. These ones are working. Doesn't make any sense. Didn't he just say that their job is finished?
Right.
So how's he equating the ones sitting down with the ones that are working?
I don't know. It says they're seated, so their work is done.
That's what he says, and now he's saying that they're the ones working.
Okay, well, let me go on.
I think God has done the same thing in Revelation 4. These 24 elders represent the newly raptured church, beginning our rule and reign with Christ.
Okay, so what are the 24 divisions of the raptured Christians? That should be his next statement. Let's see where he goes.
All the Old Testament views of the throne of God show only one throne, with the exception of Daniel 7:9, which is an end times view. So these elders can't be some special order of angelic rulers in place from the beginning. They appear a total of 12 times throughout the book of Revelation, always in heaven.
And?
That's all I have.
And that's all he has. That statement really didn't go very far. I didn't hear the 24 divisions of the raptured church. I don't see how the raptured church goes back and helps anything before. Gee, really, this precludes everybody before the death of Jesus. Everybody. The raptured church is something different than those that Jesus took the first time.
Right.
That's too far off.
Right. So let's get to the most widely accepted answer to who the 24 elders is. And I've seen this in Roman Catholic Church and even some Christian sites. So here we go. Theory number 7. As far as the 24 elders are concerned, I believe it is a literal number. They appear 7 times in the Revelation, and there are always 24. Some say this number symbolizes the 12 tribes and the 12 disciples combined to suggest the union of Old Testament and New. But I think it's exclusive to the church. Well, that's the theory.
Okay, so now let's get a couple points on there. We're talking about the 12 tribes representing the Old Testament and the 12 disciples representing the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
First thing we got to realize is right off the top, when you go into Genesis and count up the 12 tribes and list them out, then you go into Numbers and count up the 12 tribes and list them out, and then you go into Revelation and count up the 12 tribes and list them out, the first shocking thing you find is there's 13.
Mm-hmm.
So well, much for that theory.
They're not all the same. It's 12 different, 3 different sets of 12.
Right. In the first set of 12, you have the 12 brothers. In the second set of 12, you have Levi taken out, and Joseph is taken out, but is replaced by his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, there's logic to that and all that. You can do whatever you want with that. Until you get to Revelation, Levi is back in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Joseph just takes the place of Ephraim and goes back in. Ephraim and Joseph are the same thing. It's not a switch. It's the same thing. But Dan is taken out. Okay? There are 13 different tribes in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So those being the 12 tribes, is it the tribe of Levi in there? Is the tribe of Levi out of there? Is it Joseph in there? Do you take Manasseh and put him in? Do you take Manasseh out? Too many questions for it to be that 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you get to the disciples, it's the same. Notice it'll be the same question. We have 12 disciples. Are you counting Judas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You take Judas out, you put Matthias in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You take Matthias out and you put Paul in.
Mm-hmm.
Which group are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually, 26 elders, but two of them have to rotate in and out at all times. Okay, you have 13 for the first 12, but you got to rotate them in and out. So you're actually talking about the 24th elder, the 25th elder, the 26th elder. If you go back and you look at God, he's always talking about the God of who? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
If you go from God and you take it up through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
right.
Okay, obviously you got to take God back out, but we'll put Abel back in there for, okay, Abraham, number 22,
mm-hmm.
Isaac, 23,
mm-hmm.
Jacob, number 24. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's your 24 elders.
From Adam
up.
Abel was murdered, rightful descendant, right? Lineage.
Uh-huh.
But he was murdered by his own brother. Would he qualify as an elder? Would Cain be an elder?
No.
So is Abel an elder? He was murdered by his own brother.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who had the rights? Who had the rights between Abel and Cain?
Well, Cain gave up his rights.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Abel did the proper sacrifice. He did the proper things. Abel's entitled to his inheritance. See, the problem is, what people don't realize is God is so fair.
Right.
Okay? You go ahead and take away what you want from me. God's going to make up for it. Okay? Abel has his place. You have a lineage that now is going to run through Cain, Abel, Seth. Okay? So you put Seth in, and you run the line.
Right.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 22, 23, 24. Why not Joseph? Because Joseph is of the same generation as what Judah is. Okay? Those two have two separate lines. It's there's nothing wrong with Joseph. There's nothing wrong with Judah. It's just different.
Right.
Everything flows from Jacob on, the world changes. Okay? There's nothing wrong with Joseph, nothing wrong with Judah. They're just not from the older line. It's a whole new world order after Jacob.
And a big argument, Adam, you had with the 12 apostles.
Yeah, the other obvious statement you can look at is John, the apostle, is the one giving the vision. He's looking at the 24 elders. If it's the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, John's not dead yet. So either it's not John, the apostle, or John's looking at himself.
Right.
And I don't think he's looking at himself.
Right.
So I think that automatically tells you that the 12 and 12 cannot be the 12 tribes. Well, there's 13 tribes. Which 12 are you going to pick, first of all?
Right.
12 apostles, doesn't matter, because John's one of them.
Right.
Sorry, he's not dead yet.
Yeah. And he's envisioning himself.
Right, and from all science fiction shows that we watch,
yeah.
two entities cannot be in the same plane together. Okay, they would start disintegrating. So we already know that from science fiction, that John is not looking at John. It doesn't work that way. Mirrors don't count.
Some people would say, well, he's seeing a vision and the faces are blurred. Is that right? Because he's not named.
Because we saw himself, he disintegrated. No, see, he had... At the time he's seen this, you're right. He's the only apostle left. Is that true?
I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, so why not just wait and have somebody else do it? Why have John have the vision? Why not have Timothy have the vision? He could tell you. There's John, there's Peter. You know, you could go right down the line. It's not them, or it would be a complicated story.
Yeah, why would John be seated if his job's not done yet? John seated.
Yeah, obviously, that's a good point. His job isn't done yet.
Yeah.
And the other problem I have with the 12 tribes being 12, why? What's so important about the 12 tribes? I'm sorry, but isn't it at equal level of the 12 apostles? What did the 12 patriarchs do except symbolize tribes of Israel, which most of the church can't even discuss who they are?
Well, you know,
are we talking about little districts in the state of Israel right now that are being rocketed by Hezbollah? Are those the 12 tribes that existed there? Is that what we're talking about? Or the heads of the 12 great tribes of Israel that no one could find anymore?
Well, you know, you can do the same thing with the apostles, because you have 12 apostles. Where's the greatness in Matthias?
Yeah.
What do you do? It's Judas? Are you counting him?
Yeah.
You know, the apostles are divided up in groups of three. There's four groups of them. And in each group of the four, there's a leader among the four. There's like Peter's the super leader of the three.
Right.
Okay. Then the next group, they have a leader too, but they're not near what the Peter, James, and John are. And you go down. When you get down to the fourth group, they have a leader also, but man, they don't do much.
I have a big problem putting any patriarch as an elder to Abraham.
Well, see, that doesn't make any sense. By definition, see, they're not patriarchs. They're not. Nobody, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that ends the patriarch line.
Right.
Okay, even from the term patriarch. Okay, some people try to bring Joseph into a patriarch, but if you look at it, he's not. But just on the terminology of patriarch, Jacob is the last one.
And you see my point, Reuben is an elder, Abraham is none. Reuben is an elder, Adam is none. And I have a problem with that.
How can you take out, like, there's arguments for the Enochs, the Noahs, the Shams, all of this. But how do you get past Adam?
I don't know.
You know, you can't get past any of the rest of these. But it's impossible to get by Adam. Without Adam, you're not.
That definition of an elder. going from Adam, right?
Yeah. Especially when it ends up with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And if your testament correlation is the only one that matters, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I mean, tell me how that's not, it doesn't make any sense. Tell me that that's not biblical.
And, well, who's the only older one than Abraham that we're considering? Because we're not even considering calling him an elder. Okay, who's older than the elders? The original argument when we first started this podcast, who's older than Abraham? Who's the Bible say, I was before Abraham?
Jesus.
Jesus. Well, we're not calling Jesus an elder. We're placing him above the elders.
Yes.
So above the elders, above the man who said, let it be, and everything starts.
Right.
It's the next 24. Yes. It's not that hard.
Yeah. He starts in the Old Testament, the first... Adam, ending with going all the way 1+2+3 all to the 24 first people, and he comes back in the New Testament to be the only judge.
Yeah.
On top of these 24 elders. Because who's on top of the 24 elders?
Well, only Jesus. Only yours.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's nothing. And that's what we meant in this paper, why it seems so simple. Running through all these theories, and I've run out of theories. I don't see any more that's
while
I'm speaking here. But
here's one other point to it, though. Let's say it is the disciples.
Okay.
Okay? And Jesus is above the disciples.
Right.
Okay? It would always lead the question, what about somebody between Jesus and between the disciples? What about the Adams, the Enochs, the Noahs? Okay? If you start with Adam, and the whole world comes out through Adam, it's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start with Adam, you just have to count 23 more times.
Yeah.
You know? In that first 24 generations, what else is there?
Let's cover one
thing. What else is there? That encloses everybody.
I'm not sure we mentioned part of it, but let's go back one last time to one more theory out there, and that is... the 24 elders being angels.
That would be the Jehovah's Witness view.
Mm-hmm. Angels are going to judge men at the end of time, or are men going to rule over angels?
Right.
Okay? We're going to rule with angels. If we're going to rule with angels,
right,
how are they going to judge me? Does that not give me the right to judge them?
Right.
How can somebody that I have equal or more authority to judge me? Which one has the image of God in them? An angel or a man?
Right.
Is an angel going to judge the image of God? I don't think so. An angel is a spiritual creature, but it doesn't contain a soul, which is the image of God.
Let me read a thing, someone else, in these theories. And he shot down the angel theory. It's a good point that he had, and we'll bring it out here because he's already spoken of it here. Finally, why did both of those angels carry away John in the spirit? Because angels are spirits, Hebrews 1:7. But the 24 elders never carried John away in the spirit, for they are men. Let's look into the question, what is an elder? Isn't it someone who is older? Angels don't get older, for they are all the same age.
They're not necessarily the same age, but the point about not getting older,
right?
That's a good point.
Only men get older because of sin, for sin causes death.
Well, how can an angel become an elder when there's no preceding line? There are X number of angels, and there are no more. So, is there only 24 angels? What would make number 25, if you're an angel, not an elder?
Doesn't the Bible say that, quote, we will judge angels, as in 1 Corinthians 6:3?
That's the point I was getting at that I was talking about.
Whichever way you look at it, 24 elders cannot be angels, for only men can be called elders. That's the point right there, you know?
Yeah, see, angel.
John seeing a vision, why call them elders? Call them angels.
Yeah.
We have an angel used in the New Testament all the time. You see what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, the angel part is completely, every time you test the theory, it falls short.
An angel, by definition, is messenger of God, and we know that as a messenger of God, they must perform the one essential work that they're commissioned to do, and do that perfectly.
Even the fallen angels had to follow when God told them to do things.
Yeah. So these elders or angels judging, it doesn't make any sense. So I think we've covered all theories here. Our paper stands. We're standing behind it just like we always have. And this podcast is there to help our readers who had questions on why we came up with the 24 elders and what that means.
All right, so now let's give an explanation of the paper we wrote. And we'll start by reading the actual verses out of the Bible from Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, and verses 10 through 11. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 14. Revelation chapter 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Now we're reading from Revelation chapter 5, starting with verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." We'll move to Revelation chapter 5, verse 14. "Then the four living creatures said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever." What we did in the beginning of our paper there is we grabbed every verse from Revelation that spoke of the 24 elders. And that's what we did there, a compilation of all the verses that speak of 24 elders. So we ask a question, who are these 24 elders? Is this another Bible mystery? Answer is no. And this is a point we made. You look online, and there seems to be various theories, which we've already talked about, and the reasons why we don't agree with them. And that no one knows for sure. It's usually the answer you get. And we don't believe the Bible works that way. We came up with the following explanation that was thought out, and there's reasons for our statements, and this is what we're going to explain right now in this podcast. Our first point was, keep in mind that Jesus states several times in the New Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And right there, let's comment on that. Why did we mention the importance of when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are mentioned?
Well, it's not just the importance of when those are mentioned. It's the fact that they're mentioned over and over and over again, meaning there's something, it's a stopping point. Okay, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't say David. It doesn't say Jesus. It doesn't say John the Baptist. It's always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so it's got to be something. It's something that stops there.
And just to back up some verses from the New Testament, we have Luke chapter 13, verse 28. Quote, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out." Then another verse to back this up is Matthew chapter 22, verse 32. Jesus speaking, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob."
Once again, that's that stopping point. Whatever it is, whatever Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is, whatever that part is, it's something else. It's different.
Right? He's speaking.
It's inclusive.
He's speaking to the Jews also who are familiar with that statement from the Old Testament. And I think he's saying there it's definitely not Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau.
No, it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is, it's got to do, whatever the term's going to be, it's got to do with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's a connection point. And notice that there's an order to it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as we're going to it, we're saying that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lead to one thing. They lead to the end of something. And the end of something, whatever that is, it's Jacob.
Right.
Okay, because whatever's past Jacob is something else.
Right.
Okay? We can look at Abraham, it leads through Isaac, it goes to Jacob, but whatever it is, it stops there.
Right.
Something stops there. It's the end of an age of something.
Then we bring in the lineage found in Luke chapter 3, verses 34 to 38. And the reason we've done that is Luke, lineage of Jesus, goes back to Adam. Matthew does not, and there's specific reasons why that is. And you can view that paper we have on the genealogy of Jesus on our website. But since Luke is the only one that goes back to Adam, this is our clue into who the 24 elders are. Again, Matthew doesn't do that. So we take the lineage, which is reversed in Luke, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. And that's where we're getting at. Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, right?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly. And Luke ends the lineage in verse 35 with the son of Adam, the son of God. And what our revelation was, after listening to all these theories, well, the 24 elders are 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs. Well, wait a minute, John's having the vision. We just read the Bible verse. John doesn't see himself sitting up in one of those thrones. And go through all these different theories. Because of the clue into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and looking at the lineage of Luke, we reversed that lineage out and came up with, lo and behold, common sense, 24. 24 people.
With one minor exception. Mm-hmm. This list starts off with God as number one. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, our substitution for God at this point, there's only one person who would even qualify for that. It's got to be somebody before Jacob, and it's got to be somebody after Adam, because Adam's the first man, Jacob's the 24th, The only one that would seem to fit into that would be the one person who was denied. And the one person who denied in this group is Abel.
Right.
But he surely is an elder.
It's a true statement that God is one. And notice that God the Creator is Jesus at the beginning of the lineage, and it's Jesus at the end of the millennium.
Right.
He's the Alpha and Omega. It's a true statement.
But God
is not a 24 elder.
But not in the definition of an elder.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. That's what we're getting that off of. And Luke, in verse 35, says here, and I'm just going to end the verse, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Okay? So if we reverse out the lineage, we map this out. This might have confused people why we have the lineage reversed and it starts off with number one, God. Well, we just explained that reason there. And number two is Adam. Three is Seth. Four is Enosh, five is Canaan, goes on and on, up to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
22?
That's 24 right there with God. We know God can't be an elder. Not by definition. Okay? It sounds weird, but he's above all that.
Because
he's above an elder.
God is on the throne.
He's on the throne,
24
exactly.
24 thrones are around the throne of God.
He's around the throne, exactly. So if you take out God, you have a problem, because now you wind up with 23. You notice Luke's lineage doesn't include Abel because Abel was murdered. He doesn't have a lineage. But in this, Abel would be an elder.
And he's also, from Hebrews, he's also one of the men of valor out of Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 11?
Yeah.
Abel was a chosen line.
Yes.
Cain wasn't. Does Luke include Cain in the lineage? No.
No.
Doesn't include Abel because he was murdered, never had a chance to have a lineage. But we know that Abel
will
was a
have
chosen
an inheritance
line.
Later.
Exactly.
Yes.
So now you take out God because he's not an elder. He, the Creator, is the one who sits on the throne that these 24 are surrounding, right? And you add in Abel because we know he was a chosen line, and we're right back to 24, ending with Jacob. And it seems so simple, common sense. But when you look at these other theories out there, there are reasons why we sat down, researched all the different theories and why they didn't click and looked at the Word of God and came to, I think, a very valid truth. The 24 elders. And the problem I had was, how could I not call Adam one of my elders? You see what I mean?
And how could you
call... Would I call Dan one of the patriarchs of the tribes an elder? I just...
You know, even if you do, if you call Dan one of the 24 elders, which one of these 24 are you going to... You going to take out Abraham? You going to take out Isaac? You going to take out Jacob? Because those aren't the first three. Those are the last three.
If we didn't get into this in the paper, why it stops with Jacob, but I think you guys have a great comment on that.
When you turn around and you look at what goes through the Levitical priests and stuff like that, the first thing you've got to notice is the Levitical priests have nothing to do with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are of the order of Melchizedek. Okay? It's that priestly line that is running. It is after Jacob that Levi even comes into the world. Mm-hmm. So this is the division also of the priest line.
Right.
Jesus comes from the order of Melchizedek, not from the order of Levi.
Right.
Something separate.
Yeah.
Separate.
Like I said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, something different.
Right.
And one of the main differences is the priest line. This is where the priest line divides.
And comment on, one last comment, what do you guys think about what we've come up with compared to what's out there?
Well, there's no comparison to it. Every other comment that's out there would requires one of these 24 to be taken, and yet these are the 24 eldest in the group. This is the only source to making everybody part of the kingdom.
Right.
Because to take out one of these is to deny a whole portion of the world.
Right.
Okay. You keep without Noah.
Right.
Okay. You don't get to the rest of the world. Without Shem, you don't get to the rest of the world. You
got
to come through Noah. You got to come through this line to get to God. You can't get to Jesus except through these 24 elders.
And as descendants of these first men come us. I mean, that's what clicks in my mind. You have the coming across of the flood through Noah, who is named in this lineage. And you end with Jacob, who leads right up to that line.
Yeah.
And Adam is included. Now I feel a little better about this, you know, this whole...
Yeah, because we left out Adam. We didn't go deep enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And like I said, what about Joseph? What about Judah? They're at least contemporaries of the Levitical line. It's only Jacob is the last one before there is a Levi even on the scene.
And I felt bad about thinking about, well, I'm taking... They say 12 patriarchs, 12 apostles, which is the most accepted theory out there today. And I had a problem like, well, how could the 12 apostles not be one of our elders? And the thing is, it gets right back to the vision of John, who's writing this. Why isn't he seeing himself up on the throne? And then we've got the problem with the 12 patriarchs. Reuben, an elder to us? I just doesn't click. It just...
Well,
these 12 patriarchs,
12 disciples, what do you do with Judas?
And I understand their point of why they're including the 12 patriarchs. But like we just said, we're taking out Abraham. We're taking out Noah. They don't qualify as an elder. We're taking out Adam. He doesn't qualify as an elder?
I don't
get it.
You don't get more
it.
Elder.
I don't get it. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. So this was an explanation of our paper, and it's given to prove that when we sit down and write something, a lot of thought and work goes into it. And there's been certain questions asked on our website, comments on other websites saying, well, this paper on their 24 elder paper is way too simplistic, and one guy even said it sounded outrageous, you know? There's a reason why we wrote it, and it's a backup. And when you look at the other theories out there, 24 elders being angel, I mean, come on. Cut us a break. We put the work into it, and it makes sense with it being based on the Word of God. And that's where we're coming from. So if you have any questions, feel free to submit it to our site, BibleTruthOnline.com. And if you guys have any final comments on our paper?
No, this one here, this is, like I said, the priestly lines pretty well cuts it off. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob pretty well cuts it off. And we can't find 24 older.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's as old as you can get, from 1 to 24. That's
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Next one we're talking about, Melchizedek. We'll cover that a little further.
Yeah. Because that's another paper that we've gotten lots of questions on, and we feel it's easier just to present these questions in a podcast and then again go into our paper on Melchizedek to give the reasons why we came up with that. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate your time tonight, and we'll look forward to next time.